Let us pray, church, and then we'll continue on in our series. Before we pray, since this sermon is dealing more with husbands and wives, I do want to say that we're all aware from the wider biblical teaching. Ben Patterson wrote an article, I don't know, 20 years ago. For some reason, it stuck in my mind. Not all that much does, but this one did, and it was called Singleness is Not Second Best, and he dealt with how Paul spoke of singleness as a gift from God because it frees us so much to serve the Lord without other constraints or concerns that arise naturally and inescapably in marriage. So that's got to be registered, but then we're in this passage that is dealing with husbands and wives. So there you go as we progress. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your word will truly be our rule. The insights from Holy Scripture will capture us and we'll be blessed to hear from you today. Help us to have wisdom and discernment by the Holy Spirit enlightening us on this passage. And then, Father, we pray that always, whatever's going on in our home, whether we're married, whether we're single, God, that in the name of Jesus, you will be glorified and supremely honored and delighted over. In Christ we pray. Amen. There was once a Christian counselor who met with a man who was having difficulty in his marriage with his wife. With sensitivity to this Christian husband's concerns, the counselor told him that the answer was to love his wife just as God commanded him to do in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Well, the troubled Christian husband replied that he just could not do that since he felt no affection toward his wife. Well, seeing the problem that this Christian husband was facing, the counselor then said that the solution for him was to move next door to the house his wife was living in. This perplexed the husband until the counselor said that if he was having difficulty loving his wife, he might have an easier time loving his neighbor. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 19:19. At this, the man, the Christian husband, grew incensed, exclaiming that the counselor just simply did not understand how much he had grown to hate his wife. Well, the Christian counselor replied, yes, now it's finally clear to me. I believe I'll be able to help you. What you need to do is, therefore, to love your enemy. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But the Lord Jesus, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those only who love you, what reward do you have? Well, what is revealing about this encounter in that counseling situation is that this husband had adopted the culture's understanding of love and rejected the biblical view. The husband had accepted the culture's presentation that love equals basically feelings. And love is therefore something that happens to us outside of our will and control. Zing went the strings of my heart. Scripture, the Word of God, teaches, however, that love, although it is a deep, abiding, holy feeling, is it not? It's also primarily an action where commitments are kept and vows are honored. Love is something we do as well as being something we feel. The old expression, love is as love does. Now, God's word does not tell husbands to love their wives only when they feel like it. Christian husbands have a duty to love their wives, how? Sacrificially. Please hear God's word again from Ephesians 5, that what I call the classical passage. Quote, the word of God, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. That's what a husband's love is doing for the wife, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. And you know that the church is a representative, the marriage actually is a representative statement to us and to the culture of what the church is with Christ's bond of love. So, we'll look at this today, all right? Knowing that this is how God loves us, for Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we'll also look, secondly, at God's call, both upon, obviously, wives and husbands, husbands and wives, for we'll look at the husbands, and in turn, women are called to submit to their husbands. Please hear God's word by way of introduction from Ephesians again, 22 verse. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And this isn't original with me. I'm adapting it from R.C. Sproul's Intimate Marriage, the definition I have here. But I define submission as grateful, respectful, honorable acceptance of the husband's care and leadership. Anyway, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands, the word of the Lord. And again, once that is read and heard, then yes, we do rush back in with the balance that the husband's mandate to love his wife as Jesus loves his people, verse 25, the very next verse, means that the husband's authority is not one of tyranny, but of loving service. This is a king with his queen, not a king with his peon, but nonetheless, a king, nonetheless, under a king, King Jesus, the heavenly master of our earthly homes. King Jesus is all, my all in all. And when he calls me, I'll respond. All right. So, you see, I hope by now, when you heard these, you know, you feel the passage lays heavy responsibilities on both spouses. Wives are called to submit to their husbands, even though there will be times when that husband will not act as respectfully as he should. Never happened with me, of course. Husbands must love their wives even when they are not as lovable or as honorable or as respectful, pardon me, as they could be. I know never happened to any of you wives either. For we have a master over us, don't we? Master, master our Lord, remembering the passage from Colossians, for you also have a master over yourselves. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ has never used the church merely for his own pleasure. Mm-mm. Nor has Christ ever insulted the church's dignity. Nor has Christ ever disrespected the church. Jesus has never neglected his bride, the church, and he has never failed to bend his ear to hear his bride speak to him. And husbands, Christ is our model, our master. Husbands, we must imitate that kind of love stumblingly and fumblingly as we go along. The point is, feelings come and go, don't they? But the loyal love husbands must have for their wives is to last forever. What therefore God has joined together, let no one ever put asunder, Matthew 19:16. So no one ever said that the Christian life in general is going to be easy, and we know it isn't. And the fact that it's sometimes hard for husbands to love your wife or for your wives to be submissive to your husband does not excuse any spouse from the duties God lays upon the Christian married man or woman. But then again, in our culture, it's not an easy time for marriage, is it, that we're living in? Again, just by way of a long introduction, we hear Ephesians 5:33. However, let each of one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, the word of God, we hear that in the context of huge cultural challenge today. Government officials, laws, as well as the general populace, want to make marriage flexible enough to incorporate nearly any kind of relationship or any kind of genders, if you can even use the word anymore, in the public, that is. Christian believers, however, hallelujah, we must maintain firmly that marriage has divinely determined purposes, doesn't it? And you love it. It's called holy matrimony for a reason. The Lord has set apart the one man, one woman marital bond as a one flesh relationship to communicate spiritual realities of Christ with his church. It includes God's deep love for his people shown in that marriage. It includes the exclusivity of the Christ church bond as the ordinary area of the means of grace and salvation. It includes the faithful devotion that the covenant community owes its covenant Lord. That's what marriage signifies. And far from being a changeable cultural phenomenon, marriage is the means by which the created order by God himself depicts the relationship between Jesus and his church. So our culture's redefining marriage is exceedingly evil because of marriage's divine purposes, which we know by divine revelation, the Bible, the Word of God. It's an ache, I know it is, to all of us to see what's going on now. So, back to the Bible. Paul addresses wives, husbands, and children in today's passage. I'm not going to mess with the children today. It's enough to try to talk about wives and husbands, isn't it? Books and books have been written, so please don't punch me for not covering something, okay? Unless you want to be here all afternoon. Okay, God's words seem strange to our culture because the notion of a wife's submission to her husband is rejected as passé, and some days it seems that even obeying one's parents as children is now optional. The schools are wrestling with dynamics here that are something else. Modern scholars, uncomfortable with it, say, oh, it was just something written back then. Liberal scholars call it tyranny. And in addressing these issues, as we do, you know, I'm struggling for balance, so thank you for giving me indulgence or patience. Christian men especially, we got to recognize that female oppression has for too long been among the church. And among Christian men even, women have not always been treated like the divine image bearers they are according to the Word of God from creation, Genesis 1:27, absolute equality of dignity, absolute equality of beingness, absolute equality of image of Godness with men. That's there. Napoleon Bonaparte's comment that women are nothing but machines for producing children. Whoa, I dare not say that here. It reflects past sentiments of many Westerners, including, sadly, many in the church. So, let's get to it. Number one, let's take you husbands. If we had to give you one word or two words that are to characterize your relationship to your wives, you are called by God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God written, to love, love. To counter Napoleon, you look at God's call upon you as a Christian husband. Hear the Word of God, Colossians 3:19, our passage. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. And the parallel passage in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, get a load of this, and gave himself up for her. Marriage, as we see in Genesis 1:26-28, and chapter 2 also, was established by God in creation. And here the Westminster Confession of Faith calls it for the mutual help of husband and wife, for the increase of mankind with legitimate issue, meaning rightful kids, and of the church with a holy seed, and for preventing of uncleanness, meaning love and sexuality in the context of marriage. So, to be called to marriage is to be called by God to a vocation of godly value, just as being called to singleness is of great godly value. And husbands and wives are to fulfill certain roles within the marriage relationship. Husbands, again, we read today, are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And isn't it interesting that Paul does not exhort husbands to rule and reign over their wives, even though he calls wives to submit to their husbands? What do you make of that? This does not mean that husbands are not to exercise leadership in the home, but it does give us an important insight into what the husband's leadership is to look like. Christian husbands, you are not to lead in a domineering way or to live like masters while your wives live like slaves or servants. Instead, the headship of a husband is to be exercised out of deep love for his wife. Husbands, in fact, are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. Well, applied, practically speaking, it means that husbands are to put the needs of their wives before their own needs. After all, we know Philippians 2, remember, Christ Jesus did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he'd emptied himself in order to serve and come and walk among us in human flesh. Moreover, just as Christ loves us even when we do not submit to him, which is often enough, husbands are to love their wives at all times. Husbands must love their wives as Christ loves the church, which means you husbands must be willing to die for your wife. The husband's willingness to die for his wife may even take the form of actual physical death, wherein the husband places himself in mortal danger to save her life. I know, men, that is what to which we aspire. But for most husbands, most of us guys, being willing to die for our wives entails basically living sacrificially for them. And the late Dr. R.C. Sproul, in his book, The Intimate Marriage, he said, if I exercise my headship over my wife in a tyrannical way, she's going to punch me. No, it does not say that. He says, I am not respecting my wife. If my wife gives slavish obedience to me without any love, she's not respecting me. The whole basis of the relationship is built upon love, upon cherishing, and upon respecting each other. Why? Because we have a heavenly master over our earthly homes, and we wish to magnify him and glorify him. The husband who uses his authority to run roughshod over his wife's opinions or feelings is sinning against God. And likewise, the wife who manipulates her husband or undermines him with backbiting gossip is being disobedient to her calling from God. And, you know, I mean, I'm your pastor. I love you. I've gummed up the works in my marriage to my blessed Jan. And so, I mean, you know, we look to God's grace. But here is the word. We're hearing it. If you're married, are you guilty of either of these sins of running roughshod over your wife or manipulating? Dr. John MacArthur writes, a Christian husband is to care for his wife with the same devotion that he naturally manifests as he cares for himself. Even more so, since his self-sacrificing love causes him to put her first. Husbands in Christ, your calling is to pursue your wives in love to the ends of the earth. Is that your heart's fire within, with which you desire to glorify God and acknowledge that you have a master heavenly over your earthly home? Okay, wives, let's get to you. Husbands already, we feel beat up enough, don't we, men? Thanks, Pastor Jeff, a whole lot. I used to like you. Okay. Wives, if I could give you one word from the Bible, not from Jeffrey. You don't need nothing from Jeffrey. We need it all from the Word of God. Wives, it would simply be this. As the husband's word is to love, your word is to submit from the Scriptures. And the idea that wives should submit to their husbands can seem strange, you know. In our culture, our modern years, we tend to mess it up. We tend to assume and that the practice of authority and submission, we get that messed up. We often associate authority and submission with superiority and inferiority. Our warped view of creation, at least the cultures, colored by our own fallenness and the world's lies, even in the church, often sees authority figures as inherently superior to those who submit to authority. Fallen culture demands that we view those who submit as in their being somehow inferior to the one who has the, you know, and attaching inherent superiority to human beings who possess authority and linking a beingness of inferiority with those who submit is profoundly unbiblical. Did I say it loudly enough? We see this by way of analogy with the doctrine of the Trinity. The eternal Son submits himself to his Father's authority eternally, but not because the eternal Son is essentially inferior to the eternal Father. After all, the Father and Son share the same essence, John 1:1. And at the level of divine beingness, one person of the Trinity is not greater than the other, even if each has different roles and levels of authority in the outworking of salvation. It is the Spirit alone who is sent. The Father isn't sent. The Spirit is the one sent. So, similarly, husbands and wives, absolutely equal in dignity, absolutely equal in everything that comprises their essential humanity. But nevertheless, this does not preclude their having different roles in the home. And that's where I define submission again as a grateful, respectful acceptance and honoring of the husband's care and leadership. And there are going to be qualifications, aren't there? But let me repeat this. I think it's so critical, the theological, biblical truth dimension of this. The triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, defines equality different than our culture. And God's word judges us, not vice versa. God shows us that equality and submission are not mutually exclusive. The Father and the Son are co-equal in deity and in dignity, but the Son submits himself to the Father. John 1:1-4, 5:19-20. And similarly then, husbands and wives are of equal value, even though wives are called to submit themselves to their own husbands. Wifely, or should we say wifey, submission is also very hard for many to bear because too many husbands mistreat their wives. How many of us have known, I don't know any here, but how many of us have known husbands who demand that their wives bow to their every whim and bark out orders as if their wives were second-class people? You know, such behavior as that is evil, and it does not encourage true wifely submission. Paul does not tell husbands to order their wives to submit. Nowhere. Rather, he exhorts, encourages wives directly, calling them to follow their husband's lead. And moreover, the apostle commands husbands to treat their wives as well as they treat themselves as their own bodies. Who messes up his own? Why would you do that with your one? And so at least two applications follow from these truths. First, husbands who order their wives around completely miss what Scripture says about authority. Those husbands are serving themselves, not their families. And second, there's no need for husbands to ask godly wives to submit if they are loving them properly. What holy woman would not put herself under the authority of her husband if he loved her to the degree that Christ loves his church. That's what you hope for. It doesn't always work because, you know, a wife can actually take advantage of that. Anyway, God's call for husbands, and I know I'm bouncing back and forth. I found this most difficult. Anyway, God's call for husbands to love their wives and for wives to respect their husbands is not an exhortation to naivety, to put up with impenitent abusers, or to pretend that no marital problems will ever arise between two sinners who, by the Lord's grace, endeavor to fulfill his will for matrimony. Instead, this Bible call is for two people to set aside their own preferences in the interest of living for the glory of God under a heavenly master of their earthly home in such a way that shows the world why the Christ church bond is the most beautiful relationship in all creation, because marriage is showing the world, Christian marriage, what the bond of Christ with this church is all about. Please note, balance, tempt, that a wife is to submit to her own husband. This means that wives are not commanded to submit to all men, but only to their husbands and, of course, any other figure, you know, who holds a lawful place of authority in the church or in the society. And in that second way, men are also called to submission to lawful authorities in the church and in society. But in considering the submission of wives, we need to note that it's a contingent submission. What I mean by a contingent one, hey, it means if a wife's obligation to submit to her husband ends if he tries to get her to do something God forbids, or he tries to tempt her from doing something that God commands. Many a Christian woman in my years of pastoring has asked me, can I go to church when my husband forbids me? And I always say, you have to go to church, because your husband is forbidding you something that God has commanded you to do, to gather in worship. Sin is lawlessness, and Christ does not condone lawlessness ever. Also, submission does not mean a wife has no say in how things operate at home. Good luck, Jeffrey, if you try that with Jan. Huh? Sorry, honey, it's all me. Foolish, indeed, is Jeffrey if he does not listen to the wise counsel of his wife. Likewise, all you men, husbands. Well, wives are not called, here you go, to submit to perfect husbands. For no sinner can be a perfect husband. And husbands, we're all sinners until we die. So, get a load of this. Wives are to submit to the lawful leadership of their husbands, even when their husbands lead imperfectly. All I mean by lawful leadership, again, is you can't submit to your husband if he's telling you to go rob the bank. However, here we go, more balance. I hope this sermon isn't dying the death of a thousand qualifications. This does not mean wives submitting to abuse or husbands submitting to abuse, but it does mean being patient with each other and with husbands who are endeavoring to follow Christ and lead well. And by the way, please note that submission need not mean some household chores belong exclusively to wives and others to husbands. I wash my clothes all the time, men. I try not to clean because I'm a slob. No. One commentator notes that a true, proper interpretation of Scripture's view of marital roles doesn't sound at all like we are leading a march back to the gender caste system of the first century. It's not that. Ephesians 5:33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. together now, husbands, love, wives, submit, back and forth applications. These are for imperfect people who sometimes fail to meet God's demands because we're going to be sinners even though we're trying to be holy. Better this week than we were last week. Better this month than we were last month. More holy this year than we were last year. More holy now than we were a decade ago. Practically speaking, this means that husbands and wives are not allowed to delay obeying God's commands until their spouses fulfill their own God-given roles perfectly. Wives, Christian wives, you must submit to your husbands even when he is not perfectly loving. And husbands, you must love your wife even when she does not submit herself perfectly. There is no out for the wives when the husbands are in a bad mood. And there's no out for the husbands on the days their wives are hard to love and hard to live with. The realities of our sinful world and God's sole possession of absolute authority also mean that spouses are not required to endure gross, impenitent sin in the name of superficial Christian obedience. Wives, for example, you're never called to remain in situations where you or your children are being abused repeatedly and terribly. In fact, staying in such a predicament breaks the Lord's command for you to submit to your husbands, quote, as to the Lord. True wifely submission is service, and wives are not serving abusive husbands if they refuse to confront their husband's gross sins, Matthew 18:25, which may mean leaving an abusive situation, but that's a tough one. Submitting to the authority of one's husband, then, is not servile obedience. Neither does it mean that the wife must keep silent when she fears her husband is about to make a foolish decision. Good husbands realize this and lead their wives with self-sacrificial love, following Christ's model by putting the interests of the wives in first place. How are we doing with this? Should I try to wrap it up? Yes, Pastor. Husbands, you should be aware that no matter how much we give up for our wives, Jesus, our heavenly master of our earthly home, has given up far more for his church, his people. John Chrysostom of the early centuries exhorts husbands, I think this is a great quote, even if you must offer your own life for her, you must not refuse. Even if you must undergo countless struggles on her behalf and have all kinds of things to endure and suffer for her, you must not refuse. Even if you suffer all this, you have still not done as much as Christ has done for his church. And let me wrap up. Remarkably, the Bible has very little to say specifically about how a wife's submission to her husband is to look in practice. Certainly it's clear that the wife is to follow the loving direction of her own spouse, for, quote, the husband is the head of the wife, Ephesians 5:22, the Word of God. Furthermore, although the passages today indicate that the husband's spiritual leadership is of utmost importance to the family, it seems clear that the husband's authority is not limited just to spiritual matters. The Word of God is, wives, submit to your husbands, quote, in everything to their husbands. And yet the practical outworkings of wifely submission are never specified in great deal, so each family has a lot of flexibility here, and the husband is the final decision maker when a couple cannot agree upon a choice between two or more godly options. That's a given because that preserves the principle of male authority in the marriage and helps ensure that chaos does not rule the home or constant bickering and tension trying to stretch it and get my, which would be at cross purposes with Christ's work to unite all things in perfect harmony, and that's going to come in that great day. But nothing says male leadership means that he keeps the checkbook and that the wife does all the house cleaning. And examples could be multiplied. But the point is that the congregation, the Word of God, the church gives a lot of latitude. You figure these things out. Have fun. Hopefully. But since Jesus' love serves as the husband's model, we husbands must do all that we can to encourage our wife's holiness and work out our own holiness under our master. Paul has said in Philippians, as you obeyed in my presence, much more obey in my absence, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So, husband is called to be the spiritual leader of his home, which requires that he take the initiative in family worship, helping his wife and children learn the things of God, and much, much more. This should be the primary focus of the husband's leadership, doing whatever he can to further the holiness of his wife and children under the Master Jesus. And husbands and wives, are we doing all we can do so that our marriage glorifies God, knowing that we have, hallelujah, a heavenly master over our earthly homes? And we need all the help here we can get. And that's why we're coming after this hymn of commitment to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper instituted by Jesus Christ, whereby the blessings and benefits and help of the whole new covenant grace are represented here and applied to your life and sealed to your life as husbands and wives and as single men and single women called by God to be just who we are for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that as Christ is in us, the hope of glory, that if anyone has any questions of me regarding this sermon, that they not come to me. No, absolutely not, Lord. I want to be available, and we want to be available to each other. We bless you and praise you for a holy divine order that is under our Master, Jesus Christ. Bless your word to us. Amen.